Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And let's read on. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. God anointed Jesus. God anointed Jesus with power. But he anointed him with power in a special way. We say, well, God anointed Jesus with power, and Jesus had power of God, and Jesus was anointed with God's power. But how was Jesus anointed with God's power? How was he anointed with God's power? He says here, he anointed him with the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is how the power flows. The Holy Ghost is the power of God in the earth. The Holy Ghost is the power of God in the earth. Because I want you to understand that Jesus was the same Jesus when he was 12 years old, talking to the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple. He was the same Jesus, the same Son of God, when he was 15 years old, working with his father in his carpenter shop. He was the same Jesus, Son of God, when he was 24 years old, when he was 25 years old. But Jesus never did one single miracle 30 years of his life on this earth, even though he was the Son of God and he was the same Jesus that God raised from the dead. So what and when and how did God begin to work through this mighty power? When did this mighty power begin to exhibit itself? When did it begin to happen? When did we begin to see? Well, it didn't happen until he walked one day by the River Jordan, where his cousin John had been baptizing. And he had been walking along, said all of Judea came out to be baptized of John, you understand? All of them. And Peter and James and John and all those disciples had been following John the Baptist, like many people had been. And Jesus comes along, and all the time, I believe with all my heart, it may not say this as clearly as I believe it implies, that John had been saying to his closest disciples, the Baptist now, John the Baptizer, the one who was baptizing. The word baptize just means to submerge. He was the one who was preaching and proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is coming. Repent, for the kingdom is coming. Repent, for the kingdom is coming. That was his message. Repent, for the kingdom's coming. He came in the spirit of Elijah and he said, repent, for the kingdom's coming. The kingdom's coming. And he was the one who ushered in the thinking of the people, made them begin to think, the kingdom's coming. There's a kingdom coming. What kind of kingdom's coming? They were only thinking about earthly kingdoms, but John was full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, and he was speaking of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is coming. And then when he saw Jesus walking along, and he said, there he is. There's the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. There he is. He's the one who's going to, he's the one bringing in the kingdom. This is the king of the kingdom. I don't know if he actually said those words, but we know Jesus is the king of the kingdom he was preaching about, right? So he says, there he is, because he who sent me to baptize said to me that when you see me, he's the one I sent. When you see him come up out of the water and you see the Holy Ghost descend upon him and light upon him, this is the one, this is the one that I have called. This is my son. In fact, when Jesus came up out of the water, he said, John testified and said, I saw like a dove, a form of a dove, lighting upon him and remaining upon him. And I heard a cloud overshadowed him and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And immediately after Jesus come out of that river of Jordan, he was driven of the Holy Spirit who had just come upon him. The Holy Spirit came upon him. He was a mere man until the Holy Ghost came. He never did one miracle until the Holy Ghost showed up, because God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost that day. That day was the day that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost, because he couldn't do anything until the Holy Ghost showed up, until the anointing came. And then guess what happened? Guess what happened? The Holy Ghost drove him into the wilderness. He was forced into the wilderness. He didn't, you know, he says he was driven in one place by the Holy Spirit into a wilderness situation to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was tempted of the tempter. Now, do you know why I believe that happened? I believe it had to happen because he is anointed with power to do exactly what Acts said he would do. Go about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Do you know you are going to do one healing? You ain't going to get a healing of your own. You ain't going to, the Holy Ghost wants to use every single believer. But until we pass some tests, until we pass some tests of the devil, Jesus has already passed all of them for us. But we have got to learn how to lean on the test that he has already gone through with victory. We can lean, we can be totally victorious in every test of the devil because our champion was victorious over every test of the devil. Because you've been anointed with power too. If you've got the Holy Ghost, especially been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you've got power that you may not even be allowed to use yet. Now, I've been using it. I've been walking in the power. Because he wants to anoint every single believer is already anointed. Every single person that's been filled with the Holy Ghost is anointed. If you've been born again, you're anointed. But there's service. There's an anointing, a deeper anointing for power, for service. So you better not be facing no devils or casting no devils out until you get through some tests of your own. Now, Jesus was tempted. He was tempted in every area known to man. The Bible says he was. He was a man, but he was tempted as a man. He stripped himself of all the deity. Do you understand he was stripped of all the deity? If you don't believe me, I want to show it to you. It's in Philippians 2:7. Go with me to Philippians 2:7. Ready there? Philippians 2:7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, Jesus literally stripped himself of his awesome power that he had always had with God when he came to earth as a form of a baby. And he grew up and lived 30 years among men as a mere man. He was a mere man. And the only time Jesus was empowered to do the mighty works he was called to do as the Son of God, the only begotten Son of the Father, was when he came up out of Jordan and was anointed. Was when the Holy Spirit came upon him and he was anointed, like it says in Acts here, he was anointed with power. He was anointed of the Holy Ghost and power. Now, this is really crucial for every believer to see this. I know it is. That until I saw this, I thought Jesus walked around packing a magic wand and he would choose and pick and say, okay, you've cried hard enough and you've went through enough suffering. I think today I'll heal you. It'll be okay to get you healed. Bing. And you've learned enough from suffering through your sickness. Then, okay, here's my magic wand. Bing. It was like Jesus just picked and chose who he was going to heal today. Or if, don't pass me by. Remember the song, "Oh, please, Jesus, don't pass me by." They would sit at the altar, hug an altar, and cry and bawl. And maybe if they cried hard enough and made God feel sorry enough for them, maybe then God would pull out his magic wand and bing, touch them. You know, I'm telling you, that's been the picture. Has it not been the picture? We've all had been painted to us. We've all had that picture painted to us from the pulpit. From the pulpit. We've not been biblically taught correctly to receive and understand how God works in the earth. He didn't do anything different through Jesus than he would expect us to do, did he? Did he? Did he? Don't you think there was people crippled when he was 20 years old? I'm a grown woman. I'm having babies at 17. Don't you think he saw people crippled in pain and suffering and dying when he was a 20-year-old man working in Nazareth? Don't you think he saw lame people, blind people, sick people, dying people, suffering people, dying of things when he was 25 years old and he was still the Son of God? Can you say he wasn't the Son of God? No, you can't say he wasn't the Son of God because he was the Son of God. Why couldn't he just up and pull out his magic wand then and do something to help the suffering if he was anointed of God to heal? Because he couldn't because he hadn't been filled with the power of God yet. He hadn't been given the anointing to do it yet. God anointed him to heal and deliver and cast out devils because he was anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost to do it. It was a call of God on his life, just as much as a call of God's on your and my life to do something for God. just as much. And if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, that same spirit will quicken your mortal body that raised up Jesus from the dead also. Your mortal body can be quickened. I'm talking quickened, brought to life. You got something that ain't working? Let the Holy Ghost quicken it. You got something that needs healed? Let the Holy Ghost quicken it. Let the anointing of God heal you. Because it's going to take the same anointing to do the job that it did 2,000 years ago after Jesus was anointed of the Holy Ghost. Now see, he went to his hometown Nazareth. He goes to hometown Nazareth. Let's look at that. It's a couple of places that talks about it. Look at Mark chapter 6. See, we need to be biblically taught and not religiously brainwashed. We need to have a revelation of what God's word really says on the subject of healing. What does God's word really say? Let's break it down. Let's make some sense of it. Let's understand what God did. Jesus, it says in Philippians, he stripped himself. He literally laid down his power and became a mere man. The original translation says a servant, but he also became just a mere man, a person. He was half God and half man. Understand? So Mark chapter 6, verse 5. And now think about this. He's already went to his hometown. And he says, verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work. Did it say that? Did it really say that Jesus could do no mighty work, or he didn't want to do any mighty work? Did it say Jesus didn't want to do no mighty works in his hometown, you know? And people were so ornery, and they didn't like him, and they just talked about him. So he wasn't going to bless them at all. They didn't deserve no blessing. It doesn't say that. It says he could do no mighty works. He could not, even though he wanted to. Because I'm telling you, the heart of God wants to heal. The heart of God wants to heal you 100% of the time. The heart of God is for you to be completely healed, completely eradicated from all the works of the devil. He wants you completely delivered from oppression and depression and anything that has to do with the devil. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is still the will of God. The will of God will always be the will of God. You can't tell me it isn't. It's always the will of God to heal. Always the will of God to deliver. God is a good God. God is love. And we don't even have a grasp on it, how much he loves us. And you look at the Son of God and you look at the terrible beating and scourging and the suffering he went through, and you tell me he wants me sick after all he went through to get me healed and get me delivered from the work of darkness? Uh-uh. No, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Not buy it 1 ounce. Not one tiny minute will I buy that. He went through too much to get me healed. He went through too much to get me saved. He went through too much and went through too much suffering to sit around and be happy about me being sick. No way. No way. Uh-uh. I don't believe that bunch of garbage. That's garbage is what that is. It's just garbage. Don't you believe it? The Word of God tells us that Jesus went about doing good. If he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, why couldn't he do something in his own hometown? What was the problem in his own hometown? What was the issue? It's the same issue in your life. It's the same issue in my life. If you don't get your healing, it's the same problem in every area. It's the same problem in anybody's life. He could do no mighty works. What's the rest of that verse say? He only laid hands on a few sick folk. He could only lay hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled. He marveled because of their unbelief. Their unbelief kept them from getting healed. It was their unbelief that stopped the power of miraculous, glorious power of God. The power that raised him up from the dead. It was him that wanted to get them healed. He wanted to save them. He wanted to deliver them, but he could not do any mighty work because of their unbelief. He had all the faith in the world to get them healed. He had all the anointing, all the power of God. He had the Holy Ghost without limitations. He had all the gifts operating. He had all 9 spiritual gifts. He operated in all 5 offices of the Spirit. He operated as a pastor. He operated as an evangelist, as an apostle. All 5 gifts, office gifts. He was a teacher. He was a preacher. I'm telling you, Jesus had it all. He had the whole package. We only have a part as the Holy Spirit wills. But Jesus had to operate just like we do. Only he had all of it. All capacity. But the thing that you have to see,
is that they had something to do about getting healed, didn't they? Did you see that? Do you see they had something to play in that? It wasn't that they didn't cry hard enough. It wasn't they didn't bawl hard enough, and they wasn't sad enough, and they wasn't needy enough. He wanted to heal them. He would have healed anybody if they could have just believed. But he said he marveled. He thought, wow. And he's going everywhere else preaching the gospel. What did Jesus preach? Do you ever think about what did Jesus preach? When he got up in front of the thousands, what did he preach? Because the Bible talks a lot about what Jesus did preach. What did come out of his mouth? What did Jesus preach? Do you ever think about that? What was the main theme of his message? Every time God gives me a word, he usually gives me a theme. Or he gives me, like when I get up to minister and I know I'm going to preach in the morning or a Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, I say, okay, Lord, what do you want to share tonight? And he'll give me a theme. It's kind of like I have a vein to flow through. It's like I know the crux of the message. I know pretty much what he wants to get over. And then I just allow the Holy Ghost to bring it all out the rest of the way. That's an anointing. See, there's an anointing on me to minister. And I'm thankful for it because I could fall flat on my face without it. If I didn't have that anointing, I couldn't do anything. You can't do anything either without the anointing. But you can't do anything, I mean anything, without some faith. Your unbelief will cut you off. It hinders. It's just like a broken wire. You can wire a house for electricity, and if you have a break in a wire, the power will not flow. You take one of these wires here to these lights, and you cut it in half, and it will not turn on. You can bake it. You can cry at it. You can scream at it. That light ain't working if there ain't no connection. See, your faith is your connector to God. It helps the power flow. God's power flows. Holy Ghost power is real. I've had it hit me and sling me one time. The power of God hit me like a bolt of lightning. And I am not making this up. I was slung from here all the way to the end of that room back there like a fish flopping on the grass, thrown out of water. Just threw me slung across the room. Power of God will hit you. It'd be no different than if you stuck electric, go stick a fork in this plug-in over here and see if you don't feel something. See if it doesn't make you do something. See if it doesn't fling you somewhere. Woo, glory to God. You feel it. You'd feel it. You just got to get in touch with the power. But he marveled. He said, he marveled. It could do no mighty works except just heal a few sickly people. Just a few minor ailments. Few. Glory to God. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Okay, Jesus, he's going around all the countryside. Going around all the countryside, and he's doing great things. People are coming from all corners of Judea and Jerusalem, all over, to come because they heard. They heard there's a prophet raised up. There's a herd. He heard. There's somebody out here getting people healed. There's healing being brought forth. Miracles are happening. Legs are growing. Demons are being cast out. All kinds of things are happening. And look what he did in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Have you ever just looked at that verse like I have and thought, he called his disciples. He called his disciples and he did something. He gave them power against unclean spirits. He gave them something called an anointing as well, didn't he? He gave them an anointing, didn't he? He gave them the ability or the authority to operate in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, so it can be imparted to other people. He imparted it, that anointing. And they did that. They went about and they just saw all kinds of things. They came back rejoicing. The Bible says one day, man, the devils are in subject to us. And he said, well, don't rejoice over that. Just be glad your names are written. Be happy about your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember we shared that? So Jesus went about preaching something, but his disciples listened to everything Jesus preached for 3.5 years. I started to tell you what is the main thing Jesus taught. And it's found in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Let's look at it. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And I believe that this was what carried the disciples into those cities
They knew that they were anointed of Jesus because Jesus was anointed. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Start with verse 17. Everybody there? And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now he's in his hometown, Nazareth, right? He's gone into the synagogue. He always did this. I mean, this is not something new. He was a Jew. He was very regular at attending. It's not just he just poofed in there one day and they never saw him before. They saw him all. They knew exactly who he was. They saw him all the time there. He grew up in this town. This was his church. This is his home synagogue. It wasn't a church. They didn't call him church, a synagogue. So they gave to him the reading of the scriptures, and he went to this particular verse in Isaiah. And he said, "The Spirit," verse 18, "the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Ooh, glory to God. You just need to meditate on that, because that's the same commission you and I have. The exact same commission. The exact same commission. We've all been anointed. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, we've all been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. We've all been sent to heal the brokenhearted. We all have been given the commission of the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Here's the gospel right here. Here's the gospel being preached right here. Jesus preached the gospel first time in his hometown of Nazareth. He went back there and he said, "God anointed me to preach the gospel." And this is what will happen if you preach the gospel. If you preach the gospel correctly, if you tell people that God wants you healed 100% of the time, people will hear that and they'll have faith to believe that and they'll receive their healing. Not if you tell them God might want you fixed or God really is making you sick because he wants to teach you something. That is not the gospel. That kind of gospel never got anybody delivered. That kind of gospel seeds unbelief into people's hearts. You need something preached that'll bring faith in their hearts. Something that'll give them something to believe in. You can't believe in a God who wants you sick half the time. You can't believe in a God who will kill your baby and take it before it's time. You can't have faith in a God like that. Who would serve a God like that? I'll tell you something. God wants you to understand he is absolutely 100% good. He's 100% love. He's 100% mercy. He's a wonderful God. He's my Father. And he sent his Son because he loved the world so much he sent and gave his Son. And Jesus loved the Father and obeyed everything the Father ever told him to do. And he's so, you know, I believe God loves us even more than Jesus, because Jesus was delivered for me. So this is the gospel. And Jesus said, "I am the one anointed." That was a prophecy hundreds and hundreds of years before that had never been fulfilled. And Jesus fulfilled this prophecy. And in fact, he says to them, and he, verse 20, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the disciple, to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, now normally probably other people, other scribes and Pharisees have gotten up there and said, "There's coming a day when this will be fulfilled. There's somebody coming. When the Messiah comes, this will be fulfilled. When God delivers us from the Roman government," and all these, who knows what they said. They were expecting Jesus to say something on those lines. They did not expect to hear what come out of his mouth next. They did not expect him to say, this day, 2 years, not in 20 years, not in 50 years when God gets good and ready to heal you. I'm talking now, today. Today is the day of salvation. Today, it's as much faith that you take the same amount of faith to get you healed. It takes the same amount of faith to get you delivered from the devil. It gets you the same amount of faith to get you saved. It's going to take your faith to get you saved. I can't save you. It's going to take your faith to get you healed because I can't heal you. It's going to take you to believe God, just like it did the people in Nazareth. And they couldn't get healed because of their unbelief. And they heard this word first. That place was full of people in Nazareth. They heard Jesus preach this. They heard it preaching. They heard it out of the mouth of the Lord himself. You and I get to hear it through ministers. They heard Jesus himself saying, "Under an anointing." Because he had already been baptized in the Holy Ghost. He had already come up out of the River Jordan. Oh, he went through all the tests in the wilderness. And he's there under a powerful anointing preaching this message. Preaching the word of God, bringing life to it. And they did not receive it.
A lot of people don't receive this message I preach. A lot of people ain't real popular because it requires them to do something. It requires them to pray. It requires them to seek God. It requires them to get some faith. It requires them to do something with their faith. He says he gives every man a measure of faith in chapter 12, verse 3 of Romans. He gives everybody a measure, but you need to do something with it. Faith is not something you get. Faith is something you have. You have faith in here, and you can develop your faith. You grow your faith. I tell you, it's the conduit. It's the conduit of the power of God, because the anointing is everywhere present at all times to heal you and to get you delivered. We should never be oppressed. We should never be oppressed, depressed, possessed, or sick. I believe that. I just believe that. Because Jesus said, this day, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears. Does it say that? Yes. Fulfilled means it's been filled full. There's no more room for it to ever happen again. It's happened. It's here. Woo, glory to God. They should have been shouting. They should have been jumping. They should have been, glory to God, they should have been running to receive from him. Because he said, this day, I'm the one anointed. I'm the one that's come to preach the gospel. I'm the one come to preach the gospel. Now, I want to show you something in the book of Acts. An example of a mere man like you and I. The Apostle Paul. I want to show you something in the book of Acts. Let's read 14. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, and they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Iconium, and unto the regions that lied round about. So you kind of get the setting of where they are. They're being persecuted. And he says, and there they preached the gospel. Who preached the gospel? Paul and Barnabas. If you read later, earlier in the chapter, it talks about Paul and Barnabas on their early journeys. This is some of their first journeys. So what did they preach? What did they preach? They preached Jesus Christ of Nazareth, anointed of the Holy Ghost, sent by God to heal and deliver. How Jesus was anointed of the Holy Ghost with power. Remember that? Going about doing good. So they're preaching the gospel, which is the fact that Jesus was sent by God and died on the cross and was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father and sent back the Holy Spirit. I mean, they didn't just take a smidgen of the gospel. They preached the whole gospel. And it says that, verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Now let's get a picture. Sometimes I believe it takes, in fact, I've heard Kenneth Hagin say this many, many, many times, that he said, I would rather preach to denominational people than Pentecostal people, because Pentecostal people's hearts can get hardened. He said, they're the hardest people in the world to get them healed. I hadn't been religiously brainwashed, see. They hadn't heard a lot of religious junk. These people just, this man, this is the first time this man had heard the gospel preach ever. Same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, Paul, or he's looking at Paul, and perceived that he had faith to be healed. Now, Paul happens to look over. He's preaching to a probably huge crowd. And he happens to notice, and there's probably lots of people sick in the crowd, but he noticed this man right here. He was hearing the gospel preached. Faith comes from hearing, right? Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the right gospel. Hearing the gospel correctly. Hearing the word of God right. Rightly dividing the word of God. He heard the gospel preached. Not a watered down gospel. I'm talking, he heard how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and how that he told the disciples, go, all power is committed to me, go you therefore into all the world, heal the sick, cast out devils, these signs will follow them that believe. Who knows what all he preached, but I guarantee he was preaching a good gospel, because it gave the man faith to believe, to be healed, and Paul perceived it. Look what happened. Did he go over and get the bottle of oil? Get on, elders, let's lay hands on him. Let's get him healed. You know what he did? You know what he did? He looked at him, perceiving he had faith to be healed. But he says, verse 10, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Never walked. And all Paul did was he tapped into the man's faith. He honed in on something he perceived he had in his heart. And he looked at him and he said, because he'd been hearing he preached the gospel, right? "Stand up on your feet." Whoop. He obeyed the word he heard by faith. Sometimes some of us better just start believing the word of God and acting on it. He acted on what he heard, didn't he? It's so powerful. Paul was in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a terrible storm. Had been in the middle of a cyclone or typhoon or whatever it was out there, comparable to a hurricane. And there had been no day for days, no light or sun or moon or stars or nothing. For 14 days or longer, they'd been fasting. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "You're not going to have any lives lost, only the ship." And Paul stands up and says, "Be a good cheer." Right in the middle of all the wind and the storm, he said, "Be a good cheer. For this, the angel of the Lord has appeared to me this night," and he said, "Be of a good cheer, and I believe God. I'm just going to believe God." See, a lot of people have a hard time believing when God speaks to them, even in an audible voice. But how harder is it to believe God if you just look at the word and say, "By his stripes you was healed. By his stripes you were healed." You see, there's really no difference. And if you hear a word that comes straight from God, like Paul did through an angel, because he didn't have a Bible to look at, right? He didn't have a New Testament. He hadn't been busy, hadn't written it yet. He wrote most of the New Testament. But he said, "I believe God." And that's where we all have to go. That's where we all have to be 100%. We just have to start believing God. And how do you get all the unbelief out of your life? How do you get all the unbelief out of your life? A lot of it has to do with a lot of soul searching. A lot of yuck stuff just got to be dug out and start believing God. Start forgiving people. Don't allow one bit of unforgiveness to allow in your life. Forget everything that bad has ever happened. Forget everything good that's ever happened. Just forget the past and live today. Because the Bible says that faith, now faith is. The just shall live by faith now, because it's a now faith we live by. And I could go on and on about faith. But, you know, I just had to share this. I had to share this morning because we get this misconstrued idea that, you know, Jesus could just heal anybody he wanted to, but he couldn't. And there's many different ways to receive a healing. But it takes faith all the time. Can I show you a couple more examples of this? Very powerful. Very powerful. Go with me to Matthew about the story of the two blind men. Matthew chapter 9. Now, these are all things out of the scriptures. It's not something I'm making up. I'm not pulling stuff out of my hat. I'm telling you this is word of God. Examples, living, breathing examples. Matthew chapter 9. We expect God to come along on our benefit and change everything. And let's do it our way, God. We don't like your way. This faith thing is too hard. To believe you that would heal me 100% of the time? Oh, yeah. And it's my responsibility to have some faith? You know, I know for a fact that I can carry people on my faith for a while. I know for a fact that I can. But God expects every believer to start developing their own faith walk. And there comes a time when you just got to cut them loose and say, okay, time for you to grow up now. Time you stop being a big baby and a wah-wah. You're going to have to start believing God. And believe the word for yourself. Get in the word. Pray and seek God yourself. Look here what he says to the blind men. He just left Jairus' daughter, had just raised her from the dead, and he's walking along. Verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." There's that crying and bawling and squalling. Oh, I'm so bad. It's so terrible. Oh, God, help me. And what did he say? What did he say to him? And when he come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto him, believe that I am able to do this. He asked them a question. So he is asking them. I believe Jesus already knew, but he asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe? They're blind. Two of them. Do you believe I'm able to do this? See, Jesus is asking us the same question. When you've come to him for a healing or you come to him for a deliverance, you got to ask yourself, okay, he's asking you the question. Do you believe, put your name in there, that I'm able to do this? Well, almost everybody will say, yeah, Jesus will do this. Yeah, I believe Jesus can heal me. I believe God can do anything. Okay, then what did Jesus say next? He says, they said, yes, Lord.
And then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, Jesus said, it's not me. Did I say that? Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. See, if you've been taught that God wants you sick, or if you've been taught that, like Job, God is using the devil to teach you something, and you've been taught that years and years, and you've heard it over and over and over, how many, don't you think there's some unbelief harbored somewhere in there that needs to be uprooted? I think that's why God is having me preach this kind of message so much in the last few weeks, because I just think there's some of this junk in us that needs to get out of us. Because if Jesus ever come to me and said, and I needed some critical healing, major healing, facing some horrible thing, and he would say the same thing to me. See, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Human beings are all pretty much the same. And he would say, do you believe I can do this? I go, oh yeah, Lord, I believe you can heal this tumor or cancer or whatever horrible thing it is, or pain or whatever. And he said, okay, I'll do it. Now, he's laying hands on you. Be it unto you as you believe. Now, that's pretty serious, isn't it? Ain't that kind of a reality check here? So we need to get in the Word and get our believing cranked up. When you roll, you know, like, I get out here and mow grass. I know I got how much grass I got to mow. I know how much grass there is to mow. First thing I do before I ever start mowing this grass out here, I don't know why this comes to me, but maybe it's a good analogy. I open that tank up. And I look down in that little old tank and I say, well, is there enough gas in there to get this job done? Nope, got to put some more gas in there. So I go back in there, pick up this huge tank, a 5-gallon thing of gas, and I pick it up. And much as I hate doing that, I still do it. Because I don't want to get halfway through the job and have to run out of gas. And see, a lot of us have just run out of gas. When it comes really right down to it, we're trusting God to pick up the difference, and he ain't going to do it. Because it's going to be your faith that's going to get the job done. It's going to be you getting the thing done. Now, God will work with you, and God will work with you, but you got to do your part. You got to get your gas tank full. You got to get your spirit man full of the Word. Now, chapter 5, and this is straight out of New Testament. Mark chapter 5. See, your mouth is very important part of your faith. Because if you listen to your mouth, you'll tell on yourself whether you really believe, how much you really believe. It'll measure your gas tank for you. Your mouth will. Paul said, I believe God. Was he looking at the wind? Was he looking at the fact that he hadn't eaten a bite and didn't have a bite to eat for 14 days? Most of us couldn't fast 3 days. He fasted 14 days and got up to be a good cheer. Woo-hoo, glory to God. Angel of the Lord appeared to me. See, I don't need an angel of the Lord to appear to me if I got this right here. If this is real to you, if this is God's word talking to you, and it is, then this is all you need. You just need to believe God, what he has said to you. Jesus, the Lord said, all things are possible to him that believeth. What's the things you desire when you pray? Believe you receive it and you shall have it. See, it's our responsibility to believe and to kickstart our faith. We've got to do it. We want God to show up and do some mighty magical thing. But he's going to have to believe. And I believe that when we believe, that's when it happens. Just like that man. He acted on what Paul said. We just need to act on what Jesus said. Now, in Mark chapter 5 gives us a perfect example of a woman who had suffered many things. Verse 25. And a certain woman, everybody there, Mark 5:25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. And had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. I mean, she might have been a wealthy lady, but she's broke now, honey. She broke. And she suffered at the hands of many physicians, the Bible says. Suffered. And she didn't get any better. She's got worse. I mean, she took all the pills, took all the prescriptions, went to all the appointments, kept every appointment, did everything just exactly like they said to do, and she got worse. Didn't get better. Got worse. Who does that? You know anybody like that? I've met a lot of people like that. And there came a place where she said, they ain't working for me. This ain't working. I tell you, when you come to the place where man doesn't work for you, then maybe you'll surrender it all to God. And then maybe you'll just throw yourself onto something called faith and believe God. Because she said, see, she had to say it out of her heart. She said, she heard of Jesus. Verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, what do you think she heard?
He's preaching the gospel. He's preaching the same gospel he preached in Nazareth. In fact, Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and told him that and you can't find scripture for it. Jesus told him, he said, you ain't going to find this in the scriptures, but this is, I'm telling you. He told him this in the vision. He said, every single message I preached those 3.5 years with my disciples, I started my text with, the Lord has anointed me. I'm anointed of God. God has, just like he did in Nazareth, same text, Isaiah. He preached the same message. I've been anointed of God to heal the sick, to preach the gospel, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. He said he started every single message with that thing. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And so I think that would be a good thing for us to preach, how Jesus was anointed. And then she came behind him and touched his garment. She said in her heart, she heard of Jesus. And because she said, I don't believe she said it in her head either. I believe she really was at a place in her life where she had given up on man's way of doing things. And she got tired of being tired. She got tired of being sick. And she said, I'm not going to man no more. I'm not going back to these doctors no more. I ain't taking no more of their medicine. I'm not taking no more of their, I'm not going to suffer no more with this. She heard a better way. She heard a better way. But that hearing brought something called faith in her heart. And that hearing made her act, didn't it? Just like the hearing. The hearing. All Paul had to say was, stand up your feet and walk. The faith was there. It was just, he acted on somebody's words. Here's the woman. Jesus doesn't even know what's happening. He's just walking along to Jairus' daughter to get her healed. She said, verse 28, if I may touch but the clothes of his, touch the hem of his clothes, touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now there was I believe in the times that I've seen the greatest of healings in my life is I have literally said, this is it. This is it. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. I'm not going to be sick another day in my life. I'm not going to suffer another day with this sinus. I said it with my mouth and I believed it here. And when I made a decree, she made a decree. You see, this is a decree in her heart. I shall be whole. No maybes, no room, no wriggle wiggle room here. She decreed, this is Jesus. This is the real deal. I believe what he said is true, and she acted on it. Y'all see this? And she said, and straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. But what came first before she felt anything? She said it, didn't she? She believed it. She released her faith with her mouth, and she acted on it. She acted on it 100%. 100%. Glory to God. 8 and verse 11. We just need to be really more God inside minded. I'm working on being more God inside minded than ever in my life. God inside. Where's God? He's right here. He's right here. Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, God's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And he said, whosoever, I'm giving you a drink. I'll give you a drink of water that if you drink of this water, he said, you'll never be thirsty again. What's he talking about? Talking about the anointing. He said, I'll give you a drink that you'll never be thirsty again. And if you drink this water, it'll be like a well springing up in you unto everlasting life or anything you need. And he says here, so he says this. If you're one of those, that's talking about the born again experience. If you've been born again and you've got that, you've taken that drink of Jesus. Jesus is the drink, the Holy Ghost. He give you the Holy Ghost. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. And he said that living water, it's alive, right? And the Holy Spirit is going to do something who's in you. The Holy Spirit, everybody's got to get born again the same way. Everybody's got to come through the Holy Spirit. You've got to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. You've got to believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So your heart and your mouth have got to be in sync here. And so he says here, verse 11, but if the spirit that of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and if you're born again, he does. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth
in you.
He's not way off some yonder way. He's in you. We need to be God inside minded. We have God on board. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same awesome power of God that did all the miracles in Jerusalem, that did all the miracles in Nazareth, who did all those things. You just got to turn him loose. The love of God is spread abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You need to let it turn the love loose. A lot of things are bent up inside us because of we don't want to release it. We're afraid what people's going to say. We're afraid it might not work. Our unbelief hinders the work of God in our lives 100% of the time. It's always our unbelief. It's always our fears and our what if it doesn't work? But what if? What if? The what ifs have got to stop. We've got to get the junk out of our head. All that religious thinking out of our minds. And know that you've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I've got a couple more verses. 1 John chapter 2. You need to write this down for sure. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, and then we're going to go to verse 27. See, we're feeding on something today that's very special. We're feeding a special delicacy. I have served up today on a platter to the body of Christ a special menu, and it's a menu of faith. Now, you get your fork out and eat it. Believe it. Take the word and swallow it. Make it yours. Embrace it, because God's done these things for us. It belongs to us. All things are yours, he said. John chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Ooh, hallelujah. There is anointing. That word unction means anointing. Jesus had the same unction of the Holy Spirit when he was walking as a mere man, as a man on the earth, who stripped himself of his deity. But he had, of course, the Holy Spirit without measure. We have a measure, but yet we still have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we just don't have all the gifts operating in us. Same Holy Spirit. You don't get just a smidgen of the Holy Spirit. You get all the Holy Spirit that Jesus had. But the gifts come as he wills. You understand? The Holy Ghost knows how much any of us can handle. He knows what you're called to do. He knows what your calling is in the body. He knows what your position is. He knows where he wants you to operate. And some are so limited in what he wants to do with them because of unbelief. You know, we've got this arm that's just not wanting to work because they just can't get rid of the unbelief. They don't want to hook up with the body and be a functioning part of faith in the body. I tell you what, there's a lot of revelation here. But you have an unction from the Holy Ghost and you know all things. Now let's look at verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things is truth and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now that's a pretty positive statement, wouldn't you say? Really? You mean, that means I'm totally without excuse, doesn't it? I mean, where is there any wiggle room here to say, I don't believe that? Because the Holy Spirit will help you believe. That anointing will help you and teach you the right things. If you're sincere with God, if you get before God and said, okay, God, I really want to know. I really want to know about this and that, whatever, such and other. I want to know. Well, he said the Holy Spirit is in you to teach you all that you need to know. If you're missing the mark, he'll tell you. In fact, in Philippians, it says, if you be any other wise-minded, God will reveal that to you. That's a truth. That is just a truth. And I've learned to lean on that. Learn to lean on the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the Comforter's come. He'll lead you and guide you to all truth. He'll show you things to come. He's your friend. He's your guide. He's your Comforter. Learn to lean on him. I had to lean on him this past week, big time. And I did. And he buoyed me up big time. And he always will. See, we need to understand we are not alone in this life. We're a peculiar people. We're a royal priesthood. We are anointed of God. We have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in us. And that same Spirit that's in us will quicken you, heal you, Put you in your right mind. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. There's a lot the Holy Ghost will do for you. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Don't pay no attention to the mess. Yeah, the devil's the devil. He does very well what he does. But let me tell you, God does it better what he does. God does better what he does. Thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror because he already conquered. Thank you, Jesus. I'm healed 100% of the time. There is no lack in this house. All my bills are paid. All my needs are met because he provides for me. God supplies my needs. I don't go around wringing my hands and worrying, sweating her out. See how pressure's off? Because I'm not performing. I'm allowing him. I'm allowing him to be my God, the Holy Spirit and the Comforter living in you. He'll give you the word to speak. He'll give you the word to believe. He'll give you everything you need. He knows exactly what scripture to get you over in a situation. He knows exactly how to help you pray. He knows exactly what you need to say. He knows exactly what to... He just knows the right things 100% of the time. You don't always know, but he's with you to help you know. Glory to God. He knew when I had that attack of Bell's palsy and that screen come up before me. I had never read, as far as I remembered, that until that day when it was in front of me, the scripture that came up before me. And my God shall deliver me from every evil work and shall preserve me to his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. And I remember thinking, that's a supernatural manifestation right here. And in front of me, like a movie screen. And I laid hold on that. And I said, I believe God that it'll be even as it was told me. And that faith in that word in here, I took hold of it, got me through that situation. I found myself under attack. It's an attack. The devil attacks you and me, doesn't he? But thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. See, those are the things you just have to put your faith in. 100% of the time. God can't fail you. He can't fail me. Well, Father, I seal this word today. I thank you for it. I appreciate you, Jesus. I appreciate you, Holy Spirit. I appreciate you, Father. I appreciate the anointing. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing that changes and breaks every yoke. Thank you, Lord, for that.